Welcome again. I know we have a variety of church experiences in the room this evening with us or this afternoon. And so usually when we gather as a community, it'll look a whole lot like what it already has. And we'll take some time just to open God's word and look at how that applies to our lives, which we're going to do tonight in a bit more of a condensed version. I know we have a lot of families and a lot of people have Christmas Eve traditions. And so it's going to be a much shorter version of what our gatherings normally look like. But however you've ended up with us, I'm so glad you're here. If you want to follow along in your Bible, we don't have slides tonight, but we're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, but throughout this, I'll be reading the scripture, and so don't feel like you have to jump in. Hey, we have a couple of kiddos. You saw Banks before. Haven and Eden have been getting around the place as well. And earlier this year, I felt like I needed a little bit more of a hobby in my life, something to follow along with in terms of a sporting team. And my wife's from America, and so we started looking at NBA teams. Yeah, amen. Thanks, Dallas. So's Dallas, if you didn't know. And I started following along. We kind of jumped on the bandwagon of the NBA Finals last year and started supporting the Dallas Mavs. Where's Isaac? As a side note, I still have to wear that jersey. Started supporting the Dallas Mavs, and we bought a Chromecast earlier this year so that I could watch all of the Dallas Mavs games at home. And when you have a five-year-old in the house and you introduce a new piece of technology, we've been navigating a smart little girl who's worked out how to turn the TV on with the Chromecast, jump on all of the different things that are available there. And the thing that's popped up for us at Christmas, I don't know if people have on their YouTube at home, but you can put on like the live videos or the three-hour versions of Christmas jazz or a whole bunch of different music with all of these different backgrounds. It's usually a living room, some kind of AI computer-generated thing. And Haven, our oldest daughter, that's kind of been her thing this Christmas, is jumping on and finding the one that she likes the most, which one looks the most aesthetic and whatever else. And so as we have been coming in out of the living room, there'll be different living rooms on our TV of all of these different grand homes and these super luxurious spaces. And it made me reflect a little bit that I think in so many ways, that's what Christmas becomes in the Western world, this consumerism, if you will, that pops up at Christmas time, that in so many ways, Christmas becomes more about aesthetics than it does authenticity. And the reality is when we look at the original Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, it was anything but aesthetic, but it was absolutely authentic. And so we're going to take a quick look at that story tonight. And I just want to open, you know, there's certain times that we gather throughout the year because we recognize the significance of an occasion, whether it be birthdays, anniversaries, retirements, resignations from a job, or even funerals. And tonight is one such occasion for us. We gather to reflect on a moment that predates all of us by generations, so significant and profound in its impact that today we still find cause to reflect on the occasion and the moment that Jesus chose to enter in. And I want to take a short moment to consider again for us what makes the Christmas story so extraordinary. We grow so familiar with the lights, with the gifts and the carols. We find ourselves immersed in the noise of the crowds who survived Grand Central this year. We survive the chaos of the car parks, and we become hopeless spectators to that final shipping update. And in the sentimentality and, dare I say, consumerism of this season, I think there's a rawness and a realness to this Christmas story that can all too easily get overshadowed. And if we've sat through even one Christmas gathering like this, we've likely heard it said that Christmas is about joy. But it's not a plastic joy. It's not an Instagrammable kind of joy. It's a be real kind of joy that comes, thank you, unexpectedly, in the middle of life's messiness. If you don't know what Be Real is, don't worry. I am getting educated by all the millennials and Gen Z crew in this community. Here's the reality. This is what we reflect on at this time of year. The Savior of the world, King Jesus, was not born in a palace or a pristine nursery, but in a back room or a stable used for housing livestock. The timing of his arrival was less than ideal. His people persecuted as they lived under an oppressive government. His first visitors were not dignitaries, rulers, or social elites, but shepherds, ordinary people living on the margins of society. Even his family tree, the genealogy of his earthly parents, was filled with people whose lives were far from perfect. In fact, Scripture would confirm for us that they were liars, prostitutes, deceivers, and sinners. And tonight, we look at the shepherds and their response to the birth of Jesus. Their story and experience of Jesus invites us to embrace the messiness of life and discover the glorious joy that Jesus brings as he enters in. And if we've come tonight feeling weary, overwhelmed, or uncertain, here is the good news. The message of Christmas is for us. It's for all of us who seek hope and peace in the midst of life's chaos. Would you take a moment to pray with me before we reflect? God, as we read your word tonight, as your people gathered, I pray that your word would read us, that it would refine us, and it would restore us. I'd ask again tonight, God, that you enter into our stories, maybe for the first time, bringing hope, joy, peace, and restoration. Amen. Here's my first reflection. Jesus enters in, meeting us in the mess. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. See, in ancient times, if you had a message to deliver, you would often choose a messenger to go in your place. And if you had a message, as we'll read in a second, that would cause great joy for all the people, you would certainly be selective in your choice of messenger. Who you wouldn't choose, though, were shepherds. They weren't influential, they weren't wealthy, and they weren't even considered particularly holy. They lived on the margins, tending to sheep, smelling like sheep, and generally overlooked by society. And yet, God chose to reveal the birth of Jesus to them first. Why? Because our God enters in, meeting us where we are. No one too small or insignificant, and no mess too great for him to retreat. We've already considered the mess of Jesus' own birth. And I think our reminder at this point is that God doesn't wait for our lives to be neat and tidy before he steps in. There isn't a list of things we need to have in order for his arrival. And when we feel unworthy, overlooked, and even unappreciated, our invitation is to remember the shepherds. Our God enters in, showing up in unexpected places, at unexpected times, and even in unexpected ways, meeting us in the midst of our lives. My second reflection, Jesus enters in with a message of joy. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The message was simple. Jesus' birth is good news for everyone. And I think we're reminded at Christmas that this message was not for the religious elite, the wealthy, or those who had it all together, but for all people at all times, in all places. All the reasons that might even come to mind now that we would use to disqualify ourselves have found their match and are silenced by the king who left his throne. The angel calls Jesus Savior. This title for Jesus carries weight because it implies need, our need for a Savior. Culture sells us a message that joy is found in anything that makes us feel good. But true joy, the joy of Christmas, is found only in our acknowledgement that we need saving. Saving from sin, from fear, from hopelessness, and the pressures of a life lived without Jesus. And whatever our story looks like to this point tonight, the birth of Jesus is proof that he enters into our broken worlds, bringing healing, hope, joy, and restoration. The shepherds received this message with joy. And I think tonight can serve as a reminder to keep our hearts open to this gift of Jesus. His salvation isn't just for a world that needs restoring. It's for people and situations that need restoring too. He's a personal savior. And Pastor Liam's going to be getting up in a moment to talk about that decision and what a next step might look like a little bit more. The third reflection, Jesus enters in. Invitations require a response. When the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." We don't see any hesitation in the shepherds. They don't overthink it or worry about something even as practical as of who was going to watch their sheep. The news of Jesus entering in resulted in an immediate response from them. They no doubt had questions, but almost too simply, they left what they were doing, went to Jesus, and then shared that good news with others. I wonder how this challenges us to think about our response to Jesus. Do we hesitate? Are we caught up in our own worlds or thoughts or perhaps even what other people will think of us? Or do we move towards him, even with our questions, willing to step out of our comfort zones? Like the shepherds, let's allow the wonder of Christmas to move us into action, intentionally moving towards Jesus. Final reflection. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. By the end of our story, there is no doubt the shepherds' lives were changed. They went back to their flocks, but they were no longer the same. The reality of their ordinary lives was now seasoned with the glory of God. And isn't this what Jesus does? He takes the messy and the mundane, ordinary parts of our lives and transforms them for his glory. He takes the shepherds, the outcasts, and the broken, and he uses them to proclaim his good news. And so for us, whatever mess we're faced with tonight, Jesus has entered in. Whatever life looks like as we wake up tomorrow, Jesus has entered in. Our family struggles, our loneliness, the weight and disappointment of unmet expectations, Jesus enters into those places with his presence and power. Uncertainty about the future, seemingly hopeless circumstances, and even unfathomable pain, he's there if we'll invite him in. Worship team, this can jump back up. The Christmas story reminds us that Jesus' birth wasn't about perfection. It was about a good God personally stepping into the chaos of a broken world to bring peace and joy, hope and restoration. And today, tonight even, it's still about a good God entering into the chaos of our broken lives to bring the same peace and joy, the same hope and restoration. Like the shepherds, let's take time to reflect on this incredible gift. We can respond to his invitation and allow the mess of our lives to be transformed by his glory. And with hearts full of joy, we can be ready to share this good news with others. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Jesus, you have truly entered in. And across this room, there is no doubt any number of circumstances and situations that could be described as messy. As we continue to reflect tonight with your presence in our midst, God, we'd ask that you enter in again. Where there is hopelessness, pain, disappointment, relationship breakdown, questions, God, you know. Enter in again, we'd ask, as we gather and as we worship and as we pray. Come and meet us. Thank you for your humility, your heart of servanthood. We're thankful for the gift of your life in place of ours. We can truly truly say it is a Merry Christmas because you came, Jesus, because you entered in. Amen. Hey, like I said, Pastor Liam's going to jump up in just a moment and share a little bit about how you could potentially take a next step in whatever your faith journey might look like. But we're going to worship together again and continue to reflect on our good God.